Hello, what a beautiful Wednesday we're having in Sandpoint, Idaho, and Bonner's Ferry. Thank you for listening to North Idaho Radio. My name is Lindy Lewis, and we are talking with two very, very interesting people today. And Let Your Color Out Life, I tend to talk to people who have sort of learned things through the School of Hard Knocks and try to bring something good to the world, maybe with some sort of passion and purpose that that they have learned. And I have definitely two wonderful gentlemen that are here today helping raise the bar for agriculture, I would say. So Eric, I have had Eric with Genesis Mountain Farms on before. He has cultivated, and I'll let him of course tell you more about it, but he has a regular CSA, but also he has just an incredible greenhouse that is all hydroponics, and we've talked about that, and I just found it so fascinating last time. It's one of those shows you cannot have enough time for. I asked him back, and he said, could I bring my buddy? And so today we have Joseph Czar with us as well. So welcome, gentlemen, and I really appreciate you taking time out of your day to just educate North Idaho a little bit about what you're doing and bringing to our area.
Thanks for having us on. This is Eric.
Thanks for having me. This is Joseph.
And this is Joseph. Eric, why don't you tell us a tiny bit about Genesis Mountain Farm for those of us who might have forgotten?
Genesis Mountain Farm is a 365-day per year regenerative farm. We're able to go 365 days a year because we have the greenhouse that operates year-round. And so we're pulling greens out of there and peppers and all sorts of delicious things. We also raise livestock so that we have a good clean source of meat. And that's really the idea is we want to get people's minds back around what they're putting in their bodies, becoming aware of what they are putting in the food system. You may be thinking you're getting organic out of Mexico, but how do you really know? Who's really governing that? And then how long is it traveling and how much nutrient loss are you experiencing in your food because of that? So we really want to get people around local food production, their minds focused on that, getting back to more medicinal level nutrients in their food because that is where your health starts.
Absolutely.
Genesis Mountain Farm is also a retreat. So we do farm to table dinners. We had a wonderful Valentine's Day tasting menu dinner.
I got to enjoy that. It was incredible.
We have several more dinners coming up. And then beyond that, we just are opening up our on-site accommodations. So we'll have 6 luxury glamping sites where people can come and stay at the retreat, experience our retreat offerings. So we're pretty excited about that. But today I was really more than talking about Genesis Mountain Farm. I'm really wanting people to hear from Joseph Czar. He is a wealth of information. He's a rare find. There are people on the homesteading farm tour circuit that are people go bonkers over and they cannot wait to go pay money to go here. Joseph Czar is certainly on that level and in some cases much further down the road with his knowledge base. And
fantastic
that we have him in our region is such a valuable thing. And it's a resource that I do not want to see wasted. I actually want to see it. Little seeds planted everywhere about the fact that he's here and have him be able to touch it, people and give him what he knows as far as his knowledge in agriculture. And I mean, he's just got a broad spectrum of knowledge here. So,
well, that is fantastic. And Joseph, thank you very much for taking time out. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Oh, geez, Eric, I'm blushing.
I know
that was a great lead in. I'm like, thank you very much.
Oh, that's Eric, keep talking about me. No, I'm just kidding. This year, I am launching it's a emerging project called the Mountain Spirit Seed Stewards, and contemporaneous with that, I'm also trying to launch the Panhandle Pawpaw Project. Two core passions there, and so before we got on, I spoke to you that the center of my life is seeds, and so I am envisioning you know, that we have so many amazing seed companies in the Northwest.
We really do.
Like here in Idaho, we have the Snake River Seed Co-op, which I'm a seed ambassador for. Went through their training. It was very fun. Great people there. We have Triple Divide Seeds over in Montana. We have Adaptive Seeds in Oregon. We have Siskiyou Seeds down in Southern Oregon. We have Wild Garden Seed. We have Uprising Seed. All these great seed outfits. And I was clear with myself over the past year, over many meditations, that I didn't necessarily want to become a seed company, but what I wanted to do was catalyze local involvement in creating the commons around the seed. So if we envision the seed as the matriarch, of which we all need to eat food, and we know food comes from the female plant, I wanted to envision how do we support the work around the seeds while also sharing in the seeds. So on my own farm at Raven Hill Botanical Sanctuary, I have about 60 acres and about 15 acres in bottoms that I am actively growing out plants and assessing genetic traits and qualities for our region. And so I work with perennial fruiting plants, nuts and fruits, and I also work with annuals. And what I am trying to do with individuals is alert them to the importance of the seed. And so beyond just going to a seed rack and buying a packet of seeds, learning about the importance of epigenetics, about where you grow your seeds, where those seeds are evolving from, that they carry those memories into further generations. And so I actively cross plants. I do promiscuous pollination. I encourage things called grexes, which is a pool of genetics that I bring together. And then I do what I call land racing, which is pooling those genetics and adapting them to a site over time. And wow. So it's an ongoing learning experience. I'm always learning because the plants, you know, they reveal things over time. And so I'm trying to catalyze people to support that work and get involved, and also looking for growers who want to grow out with me.
And have people just maybe even understand that seed quality really matters.
Yes,
you
absolutely.
Know, I think, you know, I'm just a basic gardener. And so it's wonderful that you can bring some of that wisdom just to the local population, just in Sandpoint. We'll take a short break. And when we come back, clearly, we're going to have plenty to talk about. Thank you for listening to North Idaho Radio and Let Your Color Out Life with Lindy.
Did someone say spring? Sandpoint Superdrug is your spring supply center. Their Ace Hardware Department has power tools, hand tools, and gardening supplies for all your spring chores and projects. They also have the best gifts and supplies for spring holidays. Check out their entire new gift collection. Worried about spring allergies? Sandpoint Superdrug's Nutrition Center and Clinical Services can help with those. Come in and talk to an associate today. Sandpoint Superdrug is Sandpoint's original one-stop shop.
It's time for a getaway, and big wins are in bloom at the Kootenai Casino. This April, don't miss our $20,000 Rain Down the Riches drawing. Plus, enjoy mystery hot spins every day, and starting April 17th, experience 24-hour gaming every Friday and Saturday. Ready to get away? Come enjoy a stay starting at just $69 per night midweek, or upgrade to a Riverview room for just $89, and we'll include two breakfast vouchers. Dine with us at the Springs Restaurant, where your cravings are covered. Start your day with an 8-hour New York steak and eggs for just $15. And for lunch, enjoy a salad bar and a cup of soup for only $10. Or sit down to one of our Fab Four dinners, including fish and chips, London broil, sweet chili salmon, or chicken fettuccine for just $16. And relax at the spa at Kootenai. Luxuriate in a 30-minute massage and signature facial for $119. Or an anti-stress facial and spa pedicure for just $99. Come win in April. Call 888-YOU-ARE-LUCKY for details, or visit KootenairiverInn.com.
Hi, I'm Medora at Alpine Vista Senior Living in Sandpoint, proudly serving our community since 1989 as Sandpoint's only 100% independent senior living community. If you're helping a parent plan their next chapter, I'd love to share what makes us different. Alpine Vista is perfect for seniors ready to let go of cooking, housekeeping, and home maintenance. With chef-prepared meals, daily activities, exercise, and a welcoming community, your parent gains connection and you gain peace of mind. Visit Alpine Vista Senior Apartments.com.
The North Idaho Home and Garden Show, presented by NIBCA at the Bonner County Fairgrounds, April 11th, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., and April 12th, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Free admission, but non-perishable food donations are encouraged at the door. Get inspiration from builders, remodelers, designers, landscapers, and other industry experts. This year, there are over 65 vendors. The North Idaho Home and Garden Show at the Bonner County Fairgrounds.
The annual spring clearance sale is happening at all 16 cents, 3 shoes, and 5 socks stores. Save big with savings up to 70% off at every department. Score huge deals on lift recliners, sectionals, sofas, mattresses, bedroom sets, dining, decor, and more. But hurry, when it's gone, it's gone. Take it home today with Buy Now, Pay Later programs on approved credit. 16 cents is locally owned and family operated. Visit any of our 4 stores before the best deals disappear. 16cents.com. The store with a story. What's yours?
News Talk 97.1.
Okay, well, we are back, and we just had a very riveting 3 minutes. I thought, where on earth am I going to take this? This man has a lot to share with us. I mean, the very basic fact that seeds, we all just, you know, go to co-op or go to Home Depot, and we just buy our seeds. And I think that what I'm excited about you offering is this, that there's a lot that goes into the seeds. And I think, like both of you, you both have this sort of community consciousness. You're really trying to bring us all together in our community to support local and then also quality. So I think with that, I'd love you to speak a little bit about just the seeds that you're cultivating and propagating in our area versus maybe something that, you know, we might just find in Home Depot.
Sure. The main thing is I look for things that are open pollinated, meaning that they can freely cross with plants within the same genre of a type of plant. And so for me, I look locally, as many of the seed outfits I just spoke to, but I also look for plants that will share the traits of photoperiodism. And so if we think of the as above, so below, we're at about 48.1 to 2 north latitude. We would then say, well, contemporaneous to that would be 48.1 south. Now, the majority of that space is ocean. However, there's places like southern Chile and southern Argentina. And so I would look to places even as far as that to bring genetics here, because I know that they're going to share similar adaptations to the light cycle. And so in the States, I would look 48.1 north, and I would run it, and I would look about, you know, 3 to 4 degrees within there, and I'd look for seed pools, and then I'd bring them here. So I actively do this. I've been doing it for years. I'll bring those here, and I'll start growing them out and see, okay, who is actually wanting to be here.
I see. So you'll actually, on a latitudinal level, you'll find what's growing in our area or in across the nation and then bring them in this area.
Right.
Interesting.
Because in the inner mountain west, we do have, you know, we have similar traits, even all the way into the Pacific Northwest coastal. Mm-hmm. You know, we all tend to have Mediterranean summers. And so we have very hot.
More and more for sure, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, the fact that we're seeing such warm springs is
right.
Going to maybe give us a longer growing season, but it is a little concerning too.
Yeah, I think that's another part of it, is that the climate is erratic, and it's only going to get more erratic, frankly. And people can have their opinions about why that is so. This isn't the time to get into that. But if you're working with seed pools and genetics that are adapting with that, you're seeing what genetics will pull through, what don't, and it's right here in place. And that makes a big difference. Whereas if you were shipping in seeds, say, from Maine, or the southeast of the United States even, you're not necessarily going to see seeds that are ready for our particular crazy, right?
Okay.
And so I had a mentor who was one of the first seedsmen of Seeds of Change, Rich Abundanza, who now he's part of a nonprofit in Colorado called MASA. And he told me very early on, seeds need to battle. They really do. And what he meant by that is that for seed breeders, typically, like with open pollinated, if you're going to release a line to the public, it often takes 10 to 13 years before you've actually dialed in a trait. So someone can work seeds their whole life, say they started as a teenager, and they might only bring 3 or 4 things to the public. But it's a very worthwhile journey.
But those are the quality. Those are the ones that sort of rose to the top.
Right, and it doesn't need to be that kind of meticulous. Mm-hmm. Like, and the reason why this work is inspiring to me is because we're on the journey together. So we get to pick and pull things that we like the taste of, or the color of, or the flesh quality, or the texture, or maybe we like the way that fruit looks.
Are you doing primarily fruits then, and vegetables versus flowers?
Yeah, I do. No, I mean, I grow flowers. My valley's a little tricky with that because of the frost cycle. Like, I can have hard frosts in August and June, And that's a little bit tricky with flowers.
And like you say, the client, you can't count on it any longer.
Right, right. Just... But that's, if we take that as a given, mm-hmm. we just put it as like a context of what we're doing.
Right.
Right. And we don't get worried about it. We just know that, okay, the climate might do this, might do that. But yeah, I work primarily with functional plants, so fruiting perennials and fruiting annuals.
Okay.
And so that's what intrigues me the most. That's what brings in my passion, because we all love to eat.
Right.
I do.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Do you, actually, Eric, do you purchase seeds from Joseph yet?
Well, we trade.
You trade. Okay, so.
We're just establishing trade right now, as a matter of fact.
Well, I love the barter system. That's fantastic. I think that's fantastic, actually.
Yeah. But I mean, what he's been cultivating through the years is, it's fantastic. And his work with other wonderful fruits like pawpaw. I mean, this is a guy, correct me if I'm wrong, but I mean, he has gone to like the coldest regions of the United States to find the pawpaws that still survive there and brought those back here to then graft and grow out and see how they do in this region. Likewise, he's done that with apples and lots of different fruits, and he has all this going, this bounty on his property. But like for me right now, I'm really focused on the year coming. We've just seen a massive portion of the LNG supply eliminated. It's a big percentage. People don't realize that LNG supply is going to take no less than probably 5 or 6 years to rebuild, billions of dollars, and is directly equated to a large amount of the fertilizer supply that farmers rely on globally and including in the U.S. And so I anticipate this next year is going to be really interesting from a food perspective. When people go to the market, they're going to see things are a little bit different price-wise, availability-wise. And so as a farmer who's growing livestock, you have to look at these things and you have to plan for them. And so, you know, I immediately think, gosh, who can I reach out to that may provide a wonderful solution from plants that they've grown out that they know that they can rely upon, that I can then rely upon as a food source for myself, and my family to eat, but also for my livestock. And so, for instance, we were talking, I think it was yesterday, about some of the squashes that he's produced and being able to get an overplanting this year of squash because they're a wonderful storage vegetable,
right.
And they're a great source of calorie and nutrient density, et cetera, that are not just good for people, but I can feed those to my pigs and to other livestock
the
as well.
Chickens love it too.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
you have chickens on your farm too, don't you?
Got everything.
You got it all, yeah.
We
well,
got
I
it
was
all.
Noticing too, you, I mean, again, this is, so talking with Eric, he has a very compassionate way of processing meats. And I think that that's even a really important, and you've got some you're selling right now to the community. I just read that in your newsletter.
Yeah, correct. We just harvested pork, so we've got shares of pork available. It's Idaho Pasture Pig. So
at the end of the show, we'll let you all know how to get in touch with him. But mm-hmm. So that's fascinating. Okay, so you're starting to really exchange seeds, and
well, yeah, and I think really the idea is here is both he and I, we were talking before we started about, you know, as you get into farming, the first thing that you realize is it's kind of like stepping out of adolescence. When you move through childhood, you move through adolescence, and there's almost a little bit of narcissism there. You feel like the world somehow revolves around you a little bit. And then you get out into adulthood and you realize,
whoa,
no, the world doesn't revolve around me. I'm nothing really.
Yeah.
And farming, when you step into it, it's the same thing. You realize immediately, I know nothing. And then progressively every year, you realize as you're learning, man, I still feel like I know nothing. And there's so much to glean from what's out there that I see where a lot of people could become inactionable or
overwhelmed. Sure. Absolutely.
They feel like I just need to know more. I just need to know more before I take action because I don't want to make a mistake. And the trick here is you actually, it requires being actionable. And so I think for he and I, we're passionate about community, and a big part of that passion is carrying people across that bridge from intimidation and thinking that they need to know it all beforehand to a place of action.
And application.
Exactly.
Just
and so,
start the journey.
I know I'm really interested as we step forward in working more and more together. We both have a lot going on just founding our properties and getting mm-hmm, them off the mm-hmm. ground. But as that starts to mature as well, I can see where we really want to work together.
It's got to be so great to have a crony. I mean, someone actually know that speaks your language, yeah. understands the hard work. We were talking that, you know, before our break, we were talking a little bit about just how it's almost like golf. It's like you get one good squash out of, you know, 40 different tries, or it's one home run, and it keeps you in it. It's just like this constant draw.
Yeah, he had reached out about Hubbard squash, and we primarily grow like five families of squash for eating, but he was talking about Maxima squash, and I have so many seeds from Maxima. But the thing that's fun about squash is that they pollinate locally, so because I love promiscuous pollination, I don't really care who's doing what bees are dancing with how many different flowers. So I have so many different crosses, these wild-looking squash, and then inevitably ones that have skin tougher than a saddle that you just toss to the animals,
yeah.
Which is great because they like to eat it, but it's you need a saw to cut them. It's unbelievable. But so that barter that we've talked about, you know, he was going to swap me some glorious sausages, and I would help grow out squash with him, and he would do the Three Sisters planting, and that's a wonderful, you know, part of growing. And then, of course, with the Mountain Spirit Seed Stewards, I'm getting into defining membership tiers. And so when I was speaking to Catalyzing Public Involvement, and that whole thing about crossing the bridge into growing, even for the people who aren't capable of growing, say they live in an apartment or they live in a condo, you can still support the work of the seeds that I do by getting a membership. And then that's supporting, again, the culture around the seeds as opposed to explicitly the seeds themselves. So it's a fun little model I'm working with here. It's still exploratory. So.
Oh, yeah. No, that'll be fun. We can talk more about your memberships because you also have the CSA memberships. And, I mean, memberships is a great way for people to have kind of a connection with you both as well. I mean, I think that's a really important thing.
Absolutely.
You know, that you know what's going. All right, we'll take a short break. And when we come back, I have got to ask you about the Pawpaw Project.
Happy.
All right. We'll be right back. Thanks for listening to North Idaho Radio.
Need a new ride? Wheels and Waves has got you covered with easy financing on all new and used boats, motorcycles, UTVs, cars, trucks, and vans. No matter your budget, we can make it simple for you to hit the open road or the water with confidence. Check out our extensive inventory or find the perfect vehicle for your summer adventures. Visit us at 43 Algoma Place in Sagal, Idaho, or apply online for financing or just view the inventory at wheelsandwaves.com. Your dream ride is just a click away.
Spraying into savings at North 40 Outfitters. Get your fencing repairs done right with top brands like Tartar OK Brand Fencing and Bakert offering quality posts, gates, and more. Savings up to $200 on select Power Fields and Gallagher Electric Fence Energizers wire and supplies. Stay ready for work ahead with 25% off Noble Outfitters months. Plus, save $10 on Smith & Rogue shirts. Buy one, get one 50% off work gloves and score free Highland socks when you pick up original canvas pants. North 40 Outfitters. Outfitting. Work and play.
Do you want safe, efficient excavation without the damage? Call Vandenberg Hydro Excavation, your local experts in storm drain cleaning, culvert jetting, and underground utility locating. Vandenberg Hydro Excavation high-pressure water and powerful vac systems get the job done right. No mess, no guesswork. Safe, efficient digging without the damage. Serving Sandpoint and surrounding areas across Idaho, Montana, and Washington. Find out more information online at vhexcavation.com.
Our Senator Mike Crapo and Representative Russ Fulcher are standing up for radio listeners like us by supporting legislation to keep AM radio in cars. They know the value of local radio in times of emergency. Now it's time for Congress to finish the job and pass the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act. Learn more at dependonam.com. This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Considering selling your RV? R&R wants it. Tired of paying storage fees? R&R needs it. Just don't use it anymore? R&R will buy it. Due to a critical shortage of pre-owned motorized RVs, R&R RV is currently paying our absolute top dollar for your used motorhome. Any year, any make, any model, turn your RV into cash or flip it for a newer model. So if you no longer use it or want it, let R&R RV buy it. Visit the R&R RV Superstore in Liberty Lake or call Keith at 509-499-2601. You asked, and we listened. R&R RV is now open 7 days a week. Now through September. The R&R RV sales, service, and parts departments are here for you every single day. Need a service appointment, missing a part, or maybe it's time to upgrade to that dream motorhome? Whatever you need. Whenever you need it. R&R RV is open 7 days a week. Sales, service, and parts. Now open Sundays. R&R RV. Family-owned and customer-driven. Division in Francis and North Spokane, or look for the open sign in Liberty Lake.
Station I completely forgot. Okay, we're back now. Thank you for listening to North Idaho Radio. I just was having such a riveting conversation about the pawpaw because I have to own it and be honest, I didn't even know what it was. So I saw pawpaw went on your bio and I was like, what? Without, like, I'm thinking, you know, furry friends, right? That's where I went. I was like, so tell those of us, I don't think I'm the only North Idahoan who doesn't actually know what a pawpaw is, but maybe you could revisit what we just discussed during the break. A little bit about the pawpaw.
Yeah, that's
and
okay.
And the project you're doing.
And that's entirely normal. A lot of people in the so-called native range of pawpaws don't know, and it's kind of one of those fruits that's kind of It's got a little bit of modern folklore because people catalyze around it, but a lot of people have forgotten about it. And it has an incredible history. I won't go into that here. It's too short of a time. But, Acemina triloba is the Latin name, and it's the largest North American native fruit. And it's the only custard fruit that we can grow in North America. So if you think of custard fruits, things like the custard apple or say breadfruit or chirimoya or champadec. People probably don't know what those are. That's fine. It is this fascinating story in the U.S. in particular that dates back to the early 1900s, so much so that the horticultural societies at that time started a nationwide competition. Send us your best pawpaws. And people sent them by mail to one location. And out of that, they chose 12 fruits. And of those 12 fruits, that's essentially the nursery foundation.
To start more seeds.
Yes, yes. And pushing them in this region it's a little bold, but I was inspired because I got a population from my dear friend Ken Asmus from Oikos Tree Crops, and he's in and around Lansing, Michigan. And there was a plantsman named Corwin Davis, and there's this whole line of pawpaws called the Tatu line, and he sent me those seeds that were the original descendants from the wild stand. And so I grew them out. It's a many, many month-long stratification process, and then you have to wait to see if they come forth and they spring to life, and sure enough, they did. And then they made it in pots through negative 40.
Wow.
Like a frozen brick of soil. And they came back, and I was absolutely floored that they could do that.
Do you think the cold stratification actually maybe helped?
No, I think that it was the genetic parentage.
Okay.
And so that was all I needed with all of my esoteric hobbies to say, well, okay, here you are. Let's play ball. And so I have grown out now. I think I have like 30 seedlings in backstock. In my land, I've planted out, I think, 40. And, you know, it's a very emerging project, but what I realized, and I've spoke to you about this off the air, about how intense my valley is. Mm-hmm. If they can make it in my valley, I guarantee you we can creep these little pawpaw fingers out into other parts of the Panhandle region and get people growing those. And there are greenhouse outfits in Michigan that do greenhouse grown grafted varieties, and they're short season cultivars. I'm going to bring those here this fall to start growing out so they'll be quicker to fruit so we can get those seeds. because those children will be the real gangbusters, so to speak.
They sound pretty delicious. We were kind of describing it's like a cross between a banana and a mango.
Yeah, banana, mango-y, pineapple. Okay. They change
so
a little
sweet.
Bit.
Great.
Yeah, and of course, when you're working with seedling populations, you can get some that probably don't taste as good, and you just throw them out. That's fine, but it's part of the work. You have to... The grueling process is like, oh, okay, 7 years down the road, we've got this fruit. Oh, it's terrible.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Right,
but that's why
right.
You grow more than one.
Yeah,
you grow many.
Okay.
You get a population.
That's interesting. So they can actually taste different from bush to bush.
Absolutely.
I think that's fascinating.
And you know.
It's not like a delicata just isn't a delicata.
And like any wild fruit versus the domesticated fruit. And there are domestic cultivars. Kentucky State University has as far as I know, the only real breeding program. And I've spoken with those folks. But the ones that they've selected and then turned into graftable material, those have, like, really good taste qualities. Maybe they have lower seed, higher flesh content. But there's festivals in Ohio.
They're
all over. It's great. People play music. They have fun.
Like the pawpaw festivals.
Yes, they make pawpaw ice cream, pawpaw beers. It just
so
takes
clearly
you by storm.
They're cultivated in a couple of these other, you know, in the other states.
Yes.
It's not just a tropical fruit.
Right. And as I said, all the way up to Ontario. So they grow.
So this
far
has
north.
A good shot.
Yeah, it does. And I know for, you know, as a general understanding, they can make it as established trees to negative 40. That's okay. A considerable hardiness. Whereas the American persimmon, Diospyros virginiana, really fun native wild fruit that has also been domesticated, not as hardy in the nursery stock. I've noticed they'll just keel over. So there's something there, and
okay.
I'm going to explore it, and I invite others to explore it with.
I applaud you for that that commitment. That's a big one. I mean, like you say, 7 years.
Yeah, I mean, all the fruiting projects, that's the perennial, and again, catalyzing memberships around it. You know, there's going to be a lot of celebrating years down the line, and so it's a big commitment. Like if you think about an apple, right? Every apple that you see in a store or every apple that people know about, like Dave Benscoter has the Lost Apple Project, great guy. All of those apples at one point came from a seed.
Right.
So, you know, sometimes we worry about our loss of apple diversity. Well, it's still in the seeds. We just have to draw it out.
And that's part of your commitment is trying to go back to the actual heirloom, the original seed.
So right.
Part of your process rather than the GMO and the...
Absolutely. It's the seed is the sovereign mother, kind of, you know, to coin a term there. Not necessarily heirloom. Heirloom tends to have the description of it's at least 50 years old. You know, likely has a story and a name that may or may not be true, but also probably inbred depressed because they've just bred the same thing over time. Great to have in the gene pool. Absolutely. But I bring in wild apples from Kazakhstan, from Turkey, from Russia, and I try to see, you know, okay, who's got the cold hardy traits here? And then I'll select from those years down the line, and I'll probably cull a lot of them. Maybe, you know, there's a breeder that people know, Albert Etter. He started in strawberries as a 12-year-old. He creates all the red flesh apples that we have in the States, started on his Ettersburg farm. He grew over 15,000 apple seedlings, and he found 10% of those were worth working with.
Wow.
Right. So it's a, you know.
Back to that commitment in agriculture. It is being a farmer is such a commitment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you for your commitment to that. All right. We'll take another short break. When we come back, we will just continue to dive into this a little bit further. It's fascinating how much there is to, again, I think most of the population possibly even listening, they just buy a seed and they don't give it the thought, or they go buy an apple tree, I think. Mm-hmm. So what I really love, what both of you bring to our community is just this deeper knowledge and appreciation. So, all right, we'll be right back. Thank you for listening to North Idaho Radio.
Bonner General Family Practice is proud to welcome Dr. Dean Kubak to our team of primary care providers. Dr. Kubak brings global medical experience, a passion for whole person care, and a love for the mountain community he now calls home. From caring for patients in Africa to practicing full scope family medicine in the U.S., he's dedicated to supporting every patient with compassion and a touch of humor. We are excited to welcome Dr. Kubak and his family to Bonner General Family Practice and to the Sandpoint community. Learn more at bonnergeneral.org.
George Thorogood and the Destroyers on August 5th. Don't miss George Thorogood and the Destroyers in Sandpoint, Idaho on August 5th. Yeah, who do you know? Tickets go on sale this Friday at festival@sandpoint.com. George Thorogood and the Destroyers on August 5th.
I want to tell you a story all about the House Way Blues.
Sandpoint, it just comes naturally. This lake shore makes me smile. It's got the vibe, it wanna stay a while. Music floats through the mountain air. I wanna be there.
If you want to be in beautiful Sandpoint, Idaho, go to visit sandpoint.com and enter to win a fabulous spring getaway with lodging, golf, lake cruises, and more. Come stay and play. Click to visit sandpoint.com now.
I'm talking about Sandpoint.
Visit Scenic Idaho.
At Parker Subaru, we're proud to call this community home. That's why we're always looking for ways to support the people and community around us.
Whether it's helping keep our local rivers clean to helping pets find their forever homes or supporting our local schools and students along the way.
You won the car for the Sandpoint Lakeland High School drawing.
Because this isn't just where we work, it's our home. And that's why we'll always show up for our community.
Considering selling your RV? R&R wants it. Tired of paying storage fees? R&R needs it. Just don't use it anymore? R&R will buy it. Due to a critical shortage of pre-owned motorized RVs, R&R RV is currently paying our absolute top dollar for your used motorhome. Any year, any make, any model, turn your RV into cash or flip it for a newer model. So if you no longer use it or want it, let R&R RV buy it. Visit the R&R RV Superstore in North Spokane or call Ryan at 509-244-5888. You asked, and we listened. R&R RV is now open 7 days a week. Now through September. The R&R RV sales, service, and parts departments are here for you every single day. Need a service appointment, missing a part, or maybe it's time to upgrade to that dream motorhome? Whatever you need. Whenever you need it. R&R RV is open 7 days a week. Sales, service, and parts. Now open Sundays. R&R RV, family-owned and customer-driven. Division in Francis and North Spokane, or look for the open sign in Liberty Lake.
All right, this is what happens when you have an hour of very interesting people. You just, it flies. And I even lost track of kind of my breaks and everything because I was just so engaged the whole time with this conversation. So thank you, gentlemen, both for coming in today. And Eric, how great that you brought Joseph. I love it when I see this collaboration instead of competition. You're both in it. We're always stronger together. And so, you know, like we were talking during the break, how nice it is to have, you know, if you have a pastor, like aphids or something, you have someone to clean, you know, lean on, and then they're able to maybe suggest something that has worked in their world or whatever it might be. And so that's really wonderful. I think we've just got this last little bit. I think it would be great for us to know how to involve ourselves with both of you, I think, as a community. If people are very daunted, as we talked about, starting their own garden and or seeds, what are areas you would support this, and how could people just get in touch with you? And then we'll obviously talk about your memberships. But I'm just wondering, do you have classes that you both do?
Well, okay, so
this
yeah,
is, wait, this sounds like funny. Yeah, this is something you're talking about.
Yeah, you bring it up. You know, look at each other and we're like, well, it's funny you mention that, because we have been talking for some time and actually going through iterations about offering courses. And so these would be a little bit of classroom, but then both of us understand classroom's wonderful. Yeah, you pick up some knowledge, but it doesn't get rid of that intimidation.
Right.
To get people to actionable, you need hands-on. They need to have boots on the ground.
It's so
and
true.
Actually see it in front of them. And then everything clicks and they realize, oh, I'm capable.
And it's not so daunting.
Correct.
I think, you know, we can read about a book all day long, but then when you really step into it.
Yeah, we're looking at the idea of using both of our sites, and we welcome others to participate that are farmers in the region for sure. We have some fantastic farmers in this region. But I know he and I both have very different sites where people can glean a lot of the skill sets they're going to need. And because they are differing, they're going to get this broad spectrum. They're going to get some things off my site that they may not get on his, and likewise off of his site that they're not going to see on mine. And so right now we're still working that out, but the idea is maybe doing two or three courses, different parts of the season, starting your planting part of the season, and then going into where you're monitoring and developing your garden, and then working into harvest and covering things like winnowing and all this other stuff to save seed. And I'll let, you know, Joseph kind of pick up where I left off here. But
yeah, I will actually be at Kanisku and their grand opening on Saturday.
Oh, right across here.
Right. Yeah, from 1 to 2, I'll be talking about functional plants and the seed at the heart of adaptation gardening. And hopefully if people have never heard about tree collards, they'll come because I'll teach them about tree collards, which I think are an unbelievable plant. We haven't, that's a whole other sideshow.
Can you tell us what they are in just a cliff note? What is a tree collard?
Tree collards are like the kale machine in that you can grow them for clonal cuttings, you can grow them for edible leaves, and you can grow them for seeds.
Okay.
So literally, if you had a small population of tree collards, you would have perennial greens for years. They're amazing. I've been working with them for quite a while, and to me, they're a must-have on every farm. And so I'll be there between 1 and 2 on Saturday, and then at the Gather and Grow, the Kootenai Fairgrounds on that Saturday, the 15th or 16th, I can't recall off the top of my head, I'll be talking there midday for an hour to kind of talk with people. And then beyond that, you know, as I juggle my growing season, I'm always looking, okay, how do I, you know, get out and do little breakout classes for people? But I also want to just share with people that I'm also amenable to helping people in their own garden spaces and or farms.
That's actually probably a great place to start with both of you is, do you do like a consulting if they're building, they're like, okay, I'm ready to like start my own farm.
Yeah. Yeah. And so on my website, it's very much just, I don't spend a lot of time on the screen. Yeah. My hands are almost always in the dirt. Right. But ravenhillbotanical.com, all one word, ravenhillbotanical, singular.com. I mentioned in there, like I give people a free 30-minute consultation just to see if it's something they want to explore with me, and then I'm willing to just have an open dialogue about, you know, what are they, you know, what is the exchange, things of that nature. But I have a real breadth of experience in different growing styles, and all the way from row cropping, alley cropping, silviculture, orcharding, agroforestry, you name it.
So it's not just for the hobbyists too. You could actually help someone, you know, build out their a business, make a business out of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well. At least, you know, help. You know, the most important thing is learning to feel their site. There's a really famous landscape architect, Christopher Alexander, who talks about the felt sense of a space. And it's a very acquired skill. But if you're working your land, but you're not feeling it and you're not seeing what it's telling you, you can face a lot of different challenges. And so more than anything, I want to empower individuals and people and families on their own land, their own sites, their own farms, to just do what they already know, but maybe they haven't tapped into. And it's not, you know, it's not rocket science. You know, we get caught up in these design sciences like permaculture, and they can be really dense and really kind of multifaceted. But really, at the end of the day, it's almost as simple as walk your land. What is it telling you? And then what do you feel? And then go from there. And then you just start failing forward.
Failing forward, 100%. It's true. Yeah, yeah. You've got it. But you, that's the thing. I think sometimes we sit using, you know, talking what you were saying earlier, Eric. I mean, people, it's immobilizing oftentimes. It's like, how do you start? I mean, how did you start? I mean, this is a crazy dream that you had. They have a huge greenhouse with this amazing.
You talk about failing forward, and that's it. You know, it's really you enter these type of things, and you understand it's sink or swim, and then you really go inside yourself, and it's a choice you make.
Every single day.
It is that simple. I am willing to just keep moving forward. I choose to swim rather than sink. Because the alternative doesn't sound as much fun as it would be. I'd rather fail forward. So, yeah, I mean, for us, it was daunting. It's a big piece of property, and a lot of it, speaking to what, you know, Joseph was just mentioning, was you really have to become attuned to your property, and you got to feel your way into, what does it want? How does it want to perform from a site perspective? And it starts telling you if you're listening. And along the way, you might be taking actions and you realize, and that's the failing forward part. Oh, I took some actions before I was really listening to the property. I'm going to have to reevaluate this. And yeah, it's a pain in the butt, but it is also a part of the process. You can alleviate a lot of that, though, by, you know, if you don't have some of these skill sets yourself, reaching out to Joseph, or, you know, I'm happy to talk to people as well, but he has a much more developed knowledge base. I think just through his experiences, he's done a lot of different things.
I think you both have extreme, vast knowledge bases.
We do.
But very different. It's very interesting that you've really, I mean, your closed system fertilizing, I mean, how you've done your hydroponics is absolutely mind-blowing for people. And then, and so both of you, it's really, what a great marriage, so to speak.
Complimentary, you know? Even.
Very. Yeah, very much. So, and seeds, can people buy seeds you've cultivated? I mean, is that something that's
involved you know, with that's, Joseph? It's funny you ask that because it's coming up, and naturally as I step in, you know, for years I've kind of just been doing my seed work, and so I'm kind of fumbling forward with it myself. I am pretty clear with myself that I didn't want to just be another seed company, but I also would never want to restrict access to seeds ever. I think it's one of the most important things. People should always have access to it. And actually, just a little historical tidbit sidebar, there was a point in time in the 19th century when the USDA gave their localities free seeds. Look it up. And they had the Congress people do it in their constituents, in their little region. Imagine that today. Never in a million years. Anyhow, how far we've come. And so I would never restrict the access. However, I'm playing around with ideas like one-offs, where a few times a year I avail the seeds to the general public to just have a go at buying some seeds, and doing it in kind of a catalyzing, exciting way. Like, hey, next week we're going to have seeds fresh off the winnower. Yeah. And so you could have access to buy those. But I don't want to spend too much time like packaging. It's so much work. And I hope people realize that, like, to process the seeds. Like,
I can't imagine what that's like. I mean, I look at the little seeds that I'll plant in the garden. And,
yeah. There's a reason why a small outfit seed packet of, like, say, 100 seeds costs $5, because it's the whole season.
Yeah.
And then it's the harvest, the drying, the curing properly, the storing properly, and then packaging. It's a lot.
And then really, what seed are you getting is what I'm understanding from you today. It's like, what is the quality of the seed that's actually, that you're purchasing?
Yeah, yeah. It's important to know the source for sure. Ideally, people would you know, be aware of that. Although I would say, and again, my main driving goal is to really get the public consciousness a little more aware and in tune to this work, because I feel like in many ways, I feel as though I am having many of the same conversations I was having 15 years ago. And I think people are a little more awake now.
I think you've done an amazing job awakening us. And I just looked up and we are in our final minute of the show. That's how this happened so quickly. Thank you so much. So Genesis Mountain Farms. And
it's farm singular.
So if you go to visit us, and Raven Hill Botanical.
Yes.
Yeah, Raven Hill Botanical Sanctuary, and the website ravenhillbotanical.com.
Yep, and it's genesismountainfarm.com.
Genesis Mountain Farm. Honestly, get involved. Go to one of their dinners. This is both of these gentlemen are phenomenal community members.
We have a fantastic winemaker dinner coming up in July. You're not July 11th.
Already booked my ticket.
Oh yeah.
Better hope.
This winemaker is a phenom, one of the great U.S. winemakers. You will go down in history.
And it's just a fun experience. So we'll look forward to seeing you both again. Thank you so much for listening to North Idaho Radio, and I really appreciate you both taking time out of your busy days.
You're welcome. Thanks.
Have a wonderful Wednesday.
Thank you. Bye bye. We'll be right back.